Congratulations, listener! No, not that guy, you! Yeah, you! You just won our special Friday prize. As the lucky seventh person who's ever listened to this podcast, you won some bonus audio. Here's the deal. We've cleverly hidden a special 20 seconds of bonus audio right here in this episode. If I'm you, I'm skipping down the street, waving my hands in the air like I just don't care, because, man, you're practically holding on to the golden ticket. So listen up. Your bonus audio is on the way.
Hi, this is Kelly from Detroit, Michigan, and when I'm not changing diapers, and no, not mine, I'm stacking Benjamins.
Live from the place where we're cooking up a great discussion, it's the Stacking Benjamin Show. Friend, I'm Joe's mom's neighbor, Doug, and what a great day it is here in the basement, because we're welcoming to this week's roundtable discussion from thecollegeinvestor.com, Robert Farrington. As if that weren't enough, in our tech segment, are you sick of giving kids presents they won't use? From financial gifting and planning site ISO.com, just in time for the holidays, help us welcome Tanya Van Kort. And from Investopedia, that's Greg McFarlane. But from LenPenzo.com, it's Len Penzo. And here, kicking off the episode we planned specially for you, and don't forget to be on the lookout for your bonus audio, welcome your host, Joe Saul Sehi.
Hey, everybody, I am Joe Saul Sehi, Average Joe Money on Twitter, and what a great Friday it is. Didn't it feel like a long week? It's funny. Whenever we have a short week like we had last week, the following week always just seems to take forever. But this time that wasn't a bad thing, because we had a fantastic week starting with Monday and our very special guest, Jillian Tober-Leslade. If you didn't listen to Monday's episode, I'd encourage you to go back and do it, because I never knew how many great ideas for parties there were until I talked to Jillian. And then, of course, on Wednesday, Lisa Napoli talking about Ray and Joan Kroc. Just absolutely interesting. I love biographies. But today, the icing on the cake, not only, as Doug so eloquently mentioned, do we have Tanya Van Kort here from ISO, which is awesome. But also, we have a great roundtable discussion. And, of course, just like, you know, the old days with Cracker Jack boxes. Remember when you dig into the Cracker Jacks just looking for that prize? Well, some cleverly hidden audio is a prize for you here today. So we got lots to do. So we got to start this off by saying a big thanks to everybody who's used our link when they went to SoFi. That's spelled S-O-F-I. And our link is stackingbenjamins.com/SoFi. And what's funny is I said thanks to you, but you should be thanking us, because as you know, if you use that to refinance your student loans, they're going to throw in an extra $100 for either student loans or personal loans. They also do mortgages. You'll want to check that out too the next time that you're refinancing a house or buying a new one. StackingBenjamins.com/SOFI. They're the leader in marketplace lending, and our friends over at Magnify Money call them numero uno in just every area where they compete. In fact, let's transition there. If you head to StackingBenjamins.com/MagnifyMoney, not only will you find out that when it comes to refinancing your student loans, that SoFi is number one, or with marketplace lending, that they're also at the top, but you'll also find better places for that checking account or that savings account. How long has it been since you've been inside your bank? Probably a good long time, hasn't it? So here's what you do. Head to stackingbenjamins.com/magnifymoney. Very easy toggles there. You just toggle what you're looking for. Let's say it's a savings account that pays the highest interest rate, and boom, it brings it up. It also talks about the fine print. Very easy to understand. And you know what's coolest? You don't have to give them any personal information. stackingbenjamins.com/magnifymoney. All right, let's get this party started, shall we? All All right, let's walk across the basement here to My Dad Shortwave, see if we can get the greatest minds this week in financial writing joining us. But more on that later. Let's start off with our man in Los Angeles, California. I didn't mean to imply, Lan Penzo, that you're not one of the greatest minds in writing, because you really are.
Well, I was going to actually say I wasn't, but thank you. Yeah, I was going to say strike one, because you went to me first. But thanks, Joe.
Now, in the green room, Patrick in the green room, our close Facebook group, Patrick there had a bunker. Did you see the bunker, Len?
No, I didn't.
You did not see the bunker. Well, then everybody told him that it wasn't your bunker because there's a bathroom inside it. It's not a bunker with an outhouse.
That's right. Yeah, my bunker's outside. That's absolutely right. Hey, I want to complain about my green room, by the way. You know, I have a green room set up while I'm waiting here to be on the round table, and I'm going to have to fire the person who set up the snacks.
They're
because absolutely nothing here today.
We'll get right on that, Mr. Penzo. Make sure we do better next time.
I was going to say the person that sets up the snacks is me. Oh. So I screwed up today.
That is bad. What are you doing?
I was sitting here waiting for you, and I had no Cheetos or Cheez-Its or nothing to drink. And I was like, gosh darn it. You know, if I'm going to be sitting here waiting for Joe,
I love how you talk about all the
snacks.
Love how you talk about all the crunchy foods for the podcast. Like, nothing makes a podcast sound better than a bunch of crunchy foods.
I just named three of my four food groups right there.
There it is. But next thing you know, we're going to get another one-star review about we were telling everybody they had to eat Cheetos. Like we were telling everybody they had to have cheese sandwiches. That's the funniest review ever. But the guy who eats all four food groups, also in the desert of Las Vegas, it's Mr. Greg McFarlane.
I never actually read the reviews of the podcast on iTunes or whatever. Am I missing anything good? I probably should read them if I'm going to be a member of this roundtable.
Do you know what's funny is that our reviewers are so funny. I love the way people get it. Like Joe and OG's, what's the one here? Joe and OG's bromance touches me in a way that should be illegal. A podcast so good, I took the time to figure my iTunes password out. If you're a finance enthusiast that enjoys humor on a typically dry subject, there's a show for you. They've also showed me where I could save money through their show sponsors, but since I never learned anything from the show, I haven't acted on any of it. I like that one too. But yeah, Greg, they're on.
Reviews like that, I get you thrown off Amazon or TripAdvisor.
Oh, well, they're gold on iTunes, and we'll read those ones over and over. How are the knees doing, buddy?
They're getting there. A few more weeks, I think. I just came back from physical therapy, as a matter of fact. So I'm on the couch with my beautiful Yeti microphone mounted in front of me.
Fantastic. If you know what I mean.
Are you sure that's a Yeti microphone?
Oh, man. And the guy already wondering why he's here in beautiful San Diego, California. I think it's Robert Farrington from The College Investor.
Hey, what's up, guys? I am excited to join you here because it got cold and rainy here. So there's no place I'd rather be than in this basement.
So does cold and rainy in San Diego, does that mean it's like 62 and drizzling?
Yeah, it's like cloudy and maybe 70. I don't know if there's any drops on the ground yet.
I feel so bad for you, man. Actually, we're happy that you're here because you have a little break from the kids.
Yeah, you got it. This was my excuse to kind of shuffle the wife out. I have to have it perfectly quiet here. And so I was like, you need to take these kids over to your mom. So she did it a little early and I snuck a nap in. So you get me as fresh as a morning little tulip. I don't know.
I'm a little uncomfortable now.
Robert, you can always drive to Vegas and I'm sure Greg will watch the kids for you.
I do a great job of it. Every time I hear Robert Farrington, I think of Rodney Carrington, the country singer slash dirty comedian.
What happened to that guy?
He is playing three nights at the MGM Grand in Vegas starting December 1st. Damn, I'm going to miss him.
I forgot that guy. That guy was pretty funny. I've listened to him a few times. Well, let's get away from comedians. Let's have our three comedians.
Not on this podcast.
That's right. We'll have our three comedians talk about these. Let's start off with a new study done by TD Ameritrade as of mid-November. This out of Omaha, Nebraska. First comes love, then comes marriage, then comes the inevitable conversation about money. This press release is about, do financial opposites attract? TD Ameritrade did this whole study saying that female spenders likely to seek the security of male savers, while money isn't a deal breaker for men. So what's that all about, Len? That women are, if they spend money, they like having a man who doesn't. But men who are savers say, if she wants to be a spender, that's fine.
Well, I think that tells you where men's priorities lie versus women's.
She's staying with me?
Yeah, she can spend as much as she wants. You know, as long as everything else is, lines up in my eyes, that's a typical maledom. Personally, I'm of the type that I would prefer, and thank God I married a woman who is a saver as well. I think it just makes things much easier when both people are savers. And I think the poll numbers showed that out. I think it was, two-thirds or 69% of savers married to savers stayed married, whereas only like 50% of savers and spender matches did not. So I thought that was interesting. And can I bring up one before you move on, Joe? What is it with millennials and baby boomers, which is what this article polled? What happened to us in Generation X? It's like they forgot our generation.
Yeah, I wanted you to bring that up so we could protest this article. This whole segment's already under dispute.
But really, it's not just this article. It's everywhere, isn't it, Joe? I mean, they never talk about Gen X. It's always millennials and baby boomers.
We're the forgotten people, Len.
We certainly are.
We are the forgotten generation. Yeah, right. And it's funny, we're having a men and women discussion here, too. And we have a panel of all men today.
I'm sorry.
Where is Paula when we need her? I didn't think about that. But Greg, I'm sure it didn't surprise you that women and men both are more attracted to somebody if they're a saver.
Hold it right here. I wanted to hide the special bonus audio prize somewhere in the show, but are you kidding me? Is anyone else getting this? We've got four dudes talking about how men and women are different. Does anyone else realize what's wrong with this picture? Yeah, exactly. How that conversation could happen without including me, the preeminent expert in the field, is a colossal mistake. Man, are my panties in a twist. All right, well, Joe forced my hand here, ladies and gentlemen. So instead of cleverly hiding it like I wanted to originally, here it is, your special randomly placed, yeah, right, bonus 20 seconds of audio.
I think if you're waiting until after marriage to mention this, should we merge our accounts? Should we not? Oh, you didn't tell me about that $20,000, $5,000 in credit card debt that you have. It's funny that this is coming up because my dental hygienist, who I just saw the other day, she socks away all her money. She's been cleaning teeth since she was 20 years old. She's got houses that she rents out. The husband, he came into the relationship with atrocious credit, had maxed out several credit cards, and was making the minimum payments on them. Then they have a kid, which she could afford. I mean, kid goes to a private school, the whole bit. And the husband is like, well, can we talk about merging our accounts? And she's like, hell no, I will stay married to you. But there's no way I'm going to take on those credit card bills, which includes dinners and bottles of wine that you bought for previous girlfriends. And now you want me to contribute? No, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, but those people are fighting the stereotype. I mean, they're totally different than what's in this.
Exactly. The stereotype, which this TD Ameritrade thing seems to reinforce, is that the phenomenon of the gold digger and the sugar daddy is not a myth.
Right. Right. I love hearing stories like yours because I think that's that we can learn far more from your hygienist. Yeah. It's funny. We have four guys debating. We're just wondering what the heck we're going to.
Yeah. You think you got reviews before this. I think you might be getting some more coming. I don't know.
That's right. Yeah. This is the wrong article for a group of four men. So let's move on. Let's go on to money. What to do if your aging parents are going broke? This is by Carrie Ann Renzulli talking about boomers, Len. You know, this is a difficult thing. You see your parents, they're not doing very well. Do you stand by and let them suffer or do you help take care of them?
Gosh, I don't know how you can not take care of them. I think you know, they raised you, and if they did a good job raising you, you will do everything in your power to make sure that they are as comfortable and well taken care of as possible in their later years. That's my philosophy. Now, that being said, I haven't budgeted anything for that for my folks yet, and they're both pushing 80. So far, thank God they're doing well, but you got to start planning for that stuff. So be ready to set aside money, I think.
I'm not worried,
Len,
about
what it. What if your folks are financially irresponsible? Yours in the general sense.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I mean, what if they're blowing all their money on lottery tickets or something else?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, I think what you would do in that, or what I would do in that case is I would, if I saw that happening before they got to the point where they would need elder care, I think you would have a sit down conversation with them and say, hey, mom and dad, you know, you, instead of putting that money towards lottery tickets, you know, you got to start setting aside some money. I'll be here to help you too, but you know, you've got to help out. And I'm not going to let you just sit here and waste your money when you've got a future here that you got to be thinking about. That's me. That's what I would do. I don't know. What would you do, Greg?
That's assuming that you have parents who would listen to you. I can't answer this question. My parents are dead. My father blew all his money. Not that he had that much to begin with. What's funnier than a dead parent? And ended up living out his days in a depressing little apartment. I was too young to have helped him at the time anyway. My mother mysteriously socked away some money. I assume it came from her father and lived a slightly better existence. All I can think about is have your kids young enough so that they can help you if it needs to happen.
Yeah. Well, and I also think that, Greg, it also is having some uncomfortable discussions even before you want to.
All my discussions with my parents were uncomfortable. Name the topic, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Just speaking of uncomfortable conversations, just out of coincidence, my father-in-law, who's in his early 70s, was here at the house yesterday going over with my wife the medical
power of attorney.
I had to go over that, you know, well, in various areas where you'd say do not resuscitate. So, I mean, yeah, that's a fact of life when your parents get older.
Now, do you call him the King Bee?
I call him Sir.
Good move.
Nice work. Robert, well, you know, it says in this article that 1 out of 4 Americans are helping support a parent financially. So what do you think? You speak to people, you know, at the College Investor, you're speaking to people when they're at a young age and parents are still helping them. But if they see their parents going the wrong way, isn't it better to teach them to have the conversation early instead of waiting until they have to help them a lot down the road?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I'll share with you, my parents are in their 60s and I've had the conversation with them. And, you know, this is me and my personality. But look, guys, if you you better not expect too much. You can buy long term care insurance. You can make smart choices now. Yes, I'll help them. But I think they need to make some choices today when they're still able to set themselves up for the future, and at least start thinking about it. I will say, though, you know, I'm actually shocked. So kind of in San Diego, there's a lot of people here, at least out where I live, where it's, you know, a cultural thing that basically the parents spend all their money, like 100% of their money. And the whole entire cultural thing is that they will move in with their kids when they're older and their kids start, you know, making a little bit money themselves. And it's been like that for generations. So, you know, I'm always kind of shocked by that. So I could see that, you know, I think it's very just family based and cultural based as well.
But what about this, Greg? I mean, I like this note in the piece. The biggest mistake people make when helping parents is overextending themselves and derailing their own plans, says Cedar Rapids, Iowa financial planner Derek Tharp. I mean, it seems like you could potentially derail everything by helping your parents.
Yeah, and I'm a little skeptical. I mean, this is the same country where allegedly 80% of us have less than $1,000 saved, yet we have enough money to help our parents. It doesn't seem to add up.
Yeah, there's some magic going on with those numbers. What would you do with your parents and or in-laws if you felt like your financial situation was being stretched?
I think it's a tough one. I mean, I always kind of like look back on history, and I think we're at a different point today than we ever used to be, where like we expect our parents to be like self-sufficient on their own, still living in a house, still living away. Like, you know, my wife's grandma lived with her mom for the last 10 years of her life, and they brought her into the house so that they could help take care of her and save on those expenses. So, you know, I could see that like it's tough if you're going to jeopardize your own financial situation, but I also think, you know, there's also ways that you can help without spending a ton of money necessarily taking your parents and putting them or, you know, keeping them supporting a lifestyle that they can't afford.
Greg, do you think helping parents with like long-term care, if you can afford it, helping them afford the insurance, because you know how expensive that insurance is a good idea?
Yeah, but I'd also ask them, I'd say you had a 20, 25, 30 year head start on me. You should have more money than I do. How did this happen?
Yeah. Yeah. So have a real meeting before I put any money down. Yeah. Len, how about you? You're having meetings with parents now about, you know, estate planning and things. What if you were stretching yourself thin?
Yeah, if I was stretching myself thin, I don't know, Joe. It'd be a very tough discussion. They'd probably have to look for state aid or something. You know, maybe I would try to bring them into my house, but boy, that's something you don't even want to get into a position. So, a question like that just highlights why you really got to plan ahead of time. You don't want to get stuck into that situation.
One thing's for sure, you wouldn't let him in the bunker.
I could, you know what? Great, I could do that. Absolutely. I could throw him in the bunker, Joe. Absolutely.
No, I'm saying don't throw him in the bunker. That mushroom cloud goes up. You're like, well, if you had some cash, you could get on the bunker.
I just put an elderly rail going out to the outhouse outside so they could make it, you know, handle that. Hold onto the railing all the way to the outhouse.
That's so bad. I got to take a quick break from our discussion with Robert Farrington from the College Investor, Greg and Len. To say a big thanks to everybody who's gone to stackybenjamins.com/magnify money. I was talking earlier at the beginning of the show about how when you go to Magnify Money, that you don't have to give them any personal information. And how often is that the case where you'll click on some ad and then you find out that, surprise, I got to feed them all kinds of information. I don't want to do that. I want to shop in peace. I want to look for stuff. And then when I'm ready to do business, then I'll tell you who I am. That's what makes the internet great, isn't it? StackyBenjamins.com/magnify money. Hunt for your stuff in peace. I think we should tell Nick and Brian over at Magnify Money that should be their new, that should be their new tagline. And don't stop there. Head to StackyBenjamins.com/SoFi. That's spelled S-O-F-I. They are the leader in marketplace lending. And you're probably now seeing SoFi all over the place. And there's a good reason for that. That's because when people go to SoFi, you know what they find out? They find out that the process of applying for a loan is easy, number one. Getting things switched over is incredibly easy. There's very flexible terms. And the conditions are not tough to read. StackyBenjamins.com/SoFi. Here's what marketplace lending means. Is that SoFi really is a matchmaker. On one end, what you have is people that are looking for a better interest rate on their money. So they hand it to SoFi. SoFi finds people like you who need to refinance your student loans so that you can become the next person who's on the other side of that transaction, right? That's our goal. StackyBenjamins.com/SoFi, whether it's for your student loan, personal loan, for your mortgage, visa for your student loan or your personal loan, guess what? They're going to throw in $100. All right, time for our FinTech segment. For those of you new to the show, every Friday we talk about something new going on in the area of financial technology. Here's what I like about this. There's so much exciting stuff going on. Now, I'll caution you, we don't endorse any of the companies that come on, but we just want to show you some of the cool stuff happening in FinTech. And boy, today do we have a neat one. Tanya Van Kort is somebody. We'll ask her a little bit about herself and how she started. Maybe she'll give us some of her bio. But I first met her at FinCon. I was the MC at FinCon at a front row seat when I got to see that actually SoFi sponsored the FinCon competition at FinCon because they do so much work with financial companies and fintech companies. And they themselves really are a fintech company, aren't they? So Dan Macklin from SoFi gets up on stage with the panel, and they're announcing the People's Choice Award, which is not the one that the panel picked, but the one that the people at FinCon picked, and ISO was that company. And I wrote down, we got to get Tanya on the show, and we're so happy that she's coming down to the basement. So let's say hello to her, Tanya Van Kort, coming down to the basement from ISO. Tanya Van Kort joins us in the basement. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be in the basement.
You don't get to say that often, do you?
Not at all.
Well, let's talk about this because you're not in the basement. You're in the clouds at FinCon, where I first heard about you. You were the People's Choice winner, meaning that FinCon absolutely loved you. And I know that the accolades for ISO run deep, but I don't want to know about that. I want to know where it started, Tanya. Were you having a problem with finding the right gift for people, or did you see a niche that wasn't being filled? How did it start?
So it's really interesting. I didn't think I was having a problem with finding the right gift for people. I would just buy like 10 of the same gift and give them to all the kids whose birthday parties my kids went to. And then my daughter, who was 8, about to turn 9, said, "Mom, for my birthday, I really only want 2 things." And I thought, good. Now I don't have to try to figure out what to get you too. I said, "So what's that?" She said, "Number 1, I hope people give me enough money so I can finish saving for an investment account." True story.
Wow. How cool is that, by the way?
It was so great to hear. And then she said, "Number 2, I want a bike." And I thought, wow, those are amazing goals. And I wish every 9-year-old out there was saying that. But instead, you're not even going to get those goals fulfilled. What you're going to get is like a rainbow loom, a sew your own purse kit, a make your own gum kit, and a whole heap of other crap that you don't even use. And then I'm the one who has to like stick it in a closet or re-gift it to some other unlucky child.
That's fantastic. So ISO was born. Do you have a background in technology or in money, or what's your background, Tanya?
I have a background in technology and in educating kids. So my background is I was at Nickelodeon. I ran digital for their preschool and parenting businesses. And digital Nickelodeon is all about educating young people and using technology to do so. So that's what I'm passionate about. Both of my parents were elementary school teachers. And so it really runs in my blood, Joe.
But it's funny. Have you always been the type of person that feels better with a plan? Because I love this idea of teaching kids. You're really teaching kids financial planning at a young age.
We completely are teaching kids financial planning, and we're doing it with the Trojan horse of gift giving. But once kids say, "Hey, I have these goals. I have a saving goal for the future. I have a sharing goal where I'm going to be philanthropic and figure out something that I'm passionate about and can share with others. And I have a spending goal, something I really want." Once we get them to establish goals like that, Joe, what we're really doing is setting them up for being goal-oriented all throughout their lives. And we all know that goal creation is the first step to wealth creation. If any of us can say, "You know what? I'm not going to spend all my money on crap. Instead, I'm going to save it for something I really want, either in my future, long-term future, or in the near future." That's a way better way to go.
It's so cool. Well, tell me how ISO works then. Walk me through it. When I first go to ISO, what happens?
So when you first go to ISO, you go and you click on Start Now. And we have a whole homepage that explains to you what we're about, pretty much what I just told you. So you can click on any one of those buttons and Start Now, and you set up a profile. And it literally will only take you 3 minutes. If you are a kid who's 13 or older, you can set up your own profile. If you're under 13, then your parent sets up the profile and adds as many kids as they want to their own profile. And that's just a really simple and seamless process. Take a few minutes. After that, what you do is you say, "Okay, now I want to set up my goals." And you can have one goal in each category, saving, sharing, spending, or you can have multiple goals in each category. We launched last December, December 3rd, and my son's birthday was December 4th, and he was turning 6 years old. So by the way, it doesn't matter if your kid is 6 years old or a newborn or an 18-year-old, it is a really great place for them to start thinking about what they really want on holidays and birthdays and other gift-giving moments. So my son was 6, and he said what he really wanted was for his saving goal, he wanted to save for an investment account because he heard his sister had one. For his sharing goal, he was passionate about Food for Kids USA. And so you can either choose a goal that you want with respect to sharing, and it could be, you know, kids in Haiti or books in your local library, anything that you as a kid are passionate about, or we can serve you up a cause. So there are a list of causes there. If you don't know a cause you're passionate about, we say, "What do you like? Do you like technology? How about Girls Who Code? Do you like, you know, do you care about feeding kids? How about Food for Kids USA?" So we will serve up some causes to you. So that's the cause category. You can choose your own or you can select one. And then the third category is spending, and that's all about your wish. And so whether your wish is, "I really want an experience that, you know, my parents can't afford or won't afford. I really want that experience." Or your wish could be, "I really want a bike. I really want an iPhone. I really want, you know, tickets to a play. I really want dance lessons." So anything that the kid is really passionate about, they can include in their wish. So they set up their goals, savings, sharing, and spending. And then they get a customized URL. And that customized URL, they can send out in a birthday invitation. They can pass it around when grandma calls and says, what do they want for graduation? What do they want for their bar mitzvah? What do they want because they got good grades? That personalized URL is theirs, and it lasts all throughout the year, and they can send it out wherever, and people can go and see what they're up to and into, and say, instead of spending $30 on another piece of crap at the toy store that they're not going to use, I'm going to give $10 to their savings goals, $10 to their causes, and $10 to their wishes, or whatever proportion you'd like to give in. We let you give in whatever proportion to those categories that you'd like to give. And that's how you support the kid. And it's just an amazing process to see those kids and their goals start to be funded and start to come to life.
And now the kid doesn't yet have to have this set up. Like if I'm thinking about gifts for, let's say, my nephews and I want to give them ISO, I can just give them the gift and then they go and they set it up afterwards, right? Do they have to have it already set up?
No, Joe, I love that you asked that question, because if you're thinking about your nephews, you don't necessarily want to be, you know, acting as the parent who sets up the account for them, like you said, but you do want them to start sewing and you want them to set up their goals. Right on our homepage, there is a button that says, give the gift of ISO. And you click that give the gift of ISO button and you go in and you don't have to have an account. We just ask for your email address and you can just use their email address to give them the gift. So it says, what's their email address? If they don't have one, you can send it to their parent, but then you can specify on a card. You get to choose a cute card. The card can say Merry Christmas or Happy Hanukkah or Happy Birthday. We have a nice variety of cards, and you can send them a lovely digital card and also send them money that you want them to apply towards their goals when they go in there and set up their goals. So yes, you can give the gift of ISO and you can do it this holiday season.
Awesome. And then more in-depth questions about the different types of accounts. So the investment account, is that a brokerage account that they're opening? Do they buy fractional shares of stock? Like what happens there, Tanya?
Right. So Joe, for now, we are passing every transaction through PayPal. So the money that they are receiving is going straight into their parents' PayPal account. What we do then is we help walk their parent through how to set up an investment account with our partner Wealthfront, because it's super easy, but lots of parents also don't know how to set up an investment account. So we say, look, once your kid has $500 saved up, they can set up an investment account, and here's how to do so. We're not a fiduciary, but we have partners who are awesome fiduciaries and who make it super simple to set up that investment account, and we're going to hold your hand and guide you through that process and to that partner so that you can do so.
Awesome. And Wealthfront, I know, diversifies it for them. It's a robo-advisor. It'll keep it not only diverse, but it'll also, you know, redistribute the funds when they get out of whack and that type of stuff. So that's all automated. It's all taken care of for them.
That's exactly right.
Okay.
So it's a fantastic partner and it's super simple. One of the things that we heard back, we had 7 Stanford interns working for us this past summer. And these Stanford interns, we went to them and said, do you want 5 options about investment partners? And they said, no, just give us one. You go and vet who you think the best option is and give us one so that we can just quickly know how to set up our first investment account. And that's what we're doing, right? A century ago, we talked about kids having their first savings account, but that's no longer good enough for long-term goals. They need to have an investment account. They need to know what investment accounts are. So we are putting them into their first investment account with our partner.
And then the sharing account, does that have to be a charitable organization, or are there any boundaries on what that can be?
They can save for anything they want from a cause perspective, Joe. So, you know, if their local library needs new books and they know that because they go to the local library and the local library is doing a drive to raise money for new books, they can get contributions through their ISO account. And let's say they get $100 in contributions over the holidays towards their local library cause. They will just take that $100 and remove it from their PayPal account and go give it to their local library. Similarly, if there is, you know, if they're really passionate about Save the Children, they can take that $100 from their PayPal account and transfer it via PayPal to Save the Children. So they can transfer that right online and they can save for any cause that they care about and that they're passionate about.
Got it. And then you guys just track how much they've saved toward that goal.
That's exactly right. We track how much they've saved toward the goal so that they know how much further they have to go for their savings goal, for their cause, and for their wish.
You have to have seen, Tanya, that ISO has been used in kind of different, more creative ways than you originally expected when you create it. Do you have any stories about people using it in ways that just went, you go, this is unbelievable?
Well, you know, we have seen just stories that are really heartwarming, Joe. And that's the thing that I'm so excited about, because I'll give you an example. There are two five-year-old twins, five-year-olds, who live here in Brooklyn, New York. They decided that for their birthday, they had a lot of stuff and there wasn't anything that they could think of that they really wanted for their birthday. Their parents both do well, you know, like the majority of households in America, because we did a poll and 2 out of 3 households in America said that they wish there were a better way to celebrate birthdays and holidays because their kids have too much stuff. So these kids fit in that category of having too much stuff. They decided that they love chess. And they wanted to contribute, they wanted to support the chess school that they had seen in the movie, the Disney movie, Queen of Katwe. And so that's what they sewed for their birthday. In lieu of their guests bringing gifts, they contributed to the Somme Chess Academy that was featured in that Disney movie that these little girls loved. So that was really amazing and heartwarming that they saw this Disney movie and connected it back to their birthday and a real cause that was highlighted in that movie that they could sew for.
That's so cool. I love that movie, by the way. That was such a great movie.
It was great.
Yeah, that was fun. Now, in terms of you guys, is there a fee for ISO? Like, how do people pay fees, or is it free? And if it is free, how do you guys get paid?
ISO is free for everyone to sign up. And the way that we get paid is threefold. Number one, we charge 5% whenever any gift is given through ISO. So if grandma gives $40, we charge an extra $2 on top of that. And we've talked to lots of gift givers, grandparents, aunts, uncles, et cetera, and they've told us, you know what? That's not a big deal. I'm avoiding 8% on sales tax. And I'm also avoiding shipping costs and gift wrapping costs. And someone just told me the other day, they're like, and I bought a card and it was $8 just for the card. So with ISO, you get to avoid all of that. The second way that we make money is our financial partners will give us a referral fee for any people who we're sending over to their financial institution. And then the third way that we make money is, and we're not doing this today, but we certainly will in the future, is when a kid says, hey, I really want this bike, and they bring in a URL from Amazon and have a nice picture of their shiny bike on their ISO profile. Once they raise enough money to get that bike, we'll pop up a buy now button. They'll be able to click that button and go over to Amazon, and we'll get an affiliate feedback from Amazon.
Got it.
So that's okay. How we make money.
Yeah, cool. And then I'm assuming, Tanya, just because everybody I've interviewed just has the same kind of protocol, the same protocol people use to keep everyone's stuff safe, the banking protocol, which is, I believe, Yodlee. Is that the same security system you guys use?
It's interesting that you asked that, Joe. We're actually not touching people's money at all. All of the money is going through PayPal.
Right.
So PayPal has obviously lots of security systems in place, and ISO won't even touch a single dollar that passes through our platform.
Got it. Well, that's the easier way to answer that question, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Well, that's fantastic. So, and the website is ISO.com.
It is. It's ISOW.com. I should be really clear about how we spell it. And the reason we called it ISO is because the word sow means to plant seeds, but it also means to disperse seeds. And what we think about this platform is that it's enabling young people to plant seeds for their future, but also disperse seeds and help others with their future as well. One other thing about ISO that I forgot to mention is what we call Know Your Money. Know Your Money is a urban financial dictionary where we use memes from hip-hop artists, television personalities, recording artists to explain the top 50 terms that we think young people need to know in personal finance. So I'll give you an example. As opposed to a really long definition to explain compound interest, we have a meme of Tupac Shakur saying, I'm trying to make a dollar out of 15 cents. And that's how we explain compound interest. So So, you know, for all of the kids who are trying to learn personal finance in a way that's interesting and contextually relevant to them, you've got to go check it out. It's on our site. It's under Know Your Money. We call it So Smart, S-O-W Smart, because you're just, you know, when you're sewing, you're getting smarter all the time. And we have great quotes from, you know, Lady Gaga, who talks about, I love the Jag, the Jet, and the Mansion. And we use that to talk about assets and what are good assets versus bad assets. So it's a great place where young people can learn about financial terms, but also their parents can too. It's super fun and super easy.
It doesn't sound like you like your job at all, Tanya.
You're right, Joe. I'm sorry, but I do like hanging out in the basement. So, hey. You know, hey. All right.
Well, thanks for hanging out.
Absolutely. Thank you, Joe, for having me here.
I love the idea of kids having less trouble. Where was ISO when my kids were at that age at home? They might have had a lot less toys after those birthday parties and a lot bigger savings account that wasn't just funded by me. The cool thing is we got through it, but man, ISO makes it easier. We'll have a link to ISO in our show notes at stackybenjamins.com. All right, let's get back to our awesome discussion with Robert Farrington from The College Investor, Greg McFarland from Investopedia and Control Your Cash, and of course, the one and only Len Penzo. Our last article of the evening, we always go with the serious one last. This comes to us from MarketWatch. 5 ways lifting waste help me succeed at work. The mental challenges are often tougher than the physical ones, and they've made me a better employee. This written by Sally French, who is a weightlifter. It's funny, I don't really want to talk about Sally's journey through weightlifting, but what this led me to was this thought process about what do you do that informs your work or informs your investing? Because it seems like for her, she's drawing all of these analogies between weightlifting and what she does at work. And I think we probably have our own things. Greg, how about you?
Even though you don't want to talk about this, I got to admit, I lift weights. It's like the one regular thing in my work week. Okay. The last couple of weeks, notwithstanding, because I can barely get off the couch. But yeah, that's the first thing every morning is eat breakfast, go to the gym, do the yoga, do the cardio, shower. And okay, got that out of the way, got that obligation out of the way to take care of the physical stuff. Now I can concentrate on everything else. If I couldn't do that, I would slack off. I would be disorganized. It just wouldn't work.
It creates a better day from the beginning. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. And I've tried doing it in the afternoon and I can't. I just need to get it out of the way. Plus, Trent Hamm would love this. It's efficient. I only have to shower once.
And think about all the cost of that water if you had to shower twice during the day.
I saved at least a trillionth of a cent last month.
Robert, do you have a routine that informs the rest of your day and your work and really helps out without being a direct help?
You know, Sally, the only routine I really have in my day that is a must is I have to have that coffee to get me going in the morning. If you want to see like a non-existent human being and like just what a blank stare looks like, you catch me before my coffee. And usually it's 2 cups of coffee, but that's really my only morning routine. But without that, like I will fail my entire day.
You know, we're going to get letters about that too, about people saying, well, you could do it without coffee. Here's how.
I could, but you know, a lot of them don't have a 6-week-old that you are burping at 2 a.m. and walking around the house. So take that as you may.
Yeah, no, I know what you're talking about, Robert, because this is funny. I tried to cut coffee once and I started getting those withdrawal headaches and I realized for me, and this is what a pansy I was. I'm like, yeah, the headaches aren't worth it. I'm going to keep drinking coffee. Forget
well,
it.
Well, like if I don't have my coffee at like right when I wake up, like I'll start getting those headaches and then it's like, I'll be so out of it that I forgot that I didn't have my coffee and I don't know why I'm getting headaches.
Yeah, right. Len, how about you? Something that informs your day that you do that has nothing to do with your work?
Well, I don't know if it informs my day, but I will say this. It's a habit I have. And I've told you this about my hobby. I have this model railroading hobby. And I've been doing this now for about 2 years. I've been planning this and I've been doing I take 30 minutes a day and I read everything I can about railroading and how the actual prototypes work. But one thing I've learned is in doing this model railroading over 2 years is I have made this plan. I've done this CAD drawing where I've had this plan and I've joked before about it. I'm trying to kick my kids out of the bedroom, waiting for one of these kids to leave so I can set up my set. But this plan that I've put together it has changed. It changes like almost on a weekly basis because as I learn new things, I'm constantly changing. And so one thing that reminds me of doing in the rest of my life, especially with my work and with my investments and stuff, is you've always got to be learning and you've always got to be re-looking at your plans because things change and you come up with new ideas and you learn new things and it makes things change. So I guess that's how I translate my model railroading into the rest of my life. Stupid, huh?
No, it's no. Actually, I thought that was really cool. And I like it. It's also the power of listening, right?
Yeah, right. Well, yeah, and learning. Like I said, I try to spend time every day to learn something new about this hobby, so, and about what I'm trying to model. So
let's switch because Greg and I, well, I didn't even say anything. I was just thinking, of course, my routine in the beginning of the day is going out for a nice long run. And it always seems like I get the best ideas about work. And also there's the old tired cliche.
Oh, rub it in. Oh, look at Mr. Two Good Knees here. Yes. Oh, excuse me as I strap on my Nike cross trainers and run around the block. Right. Yeah, I'm sorry we can't all be upright like you.
Next week, I'm going to text you. I'm on mile 5, Greg. Mile 6. Man, these knees are great. But for me, there's just the fact that I'm out. It has nothing to do with the run. It's just that I'm out. I'm away. And I find also the rest of the day goes better. And like you, Greg, I've tried to do it in the middle of the day when it gets really nice here in the middle of the day in, you know, December, January, February. And it's just the perfect time to run. The day's already taken over and I can't do it then. I just don't do it if I don't do it first thing in the morning. Here. What about the end of the day? Greg, since you're teasing me, let's go to you. Do you have I started journaling at the end of the day, just going through, here's what I wanted to accomplish. Here's where I'm at. Here's what I'm thinking about doing tomorrow. And I find that it kind of helps me clear my head so that the next day I can get a running start. Do you have anything like that?
No, and this is the wrong time of year to ask me because thanks to standard time, and now that we have a new president, can we make daylight saving time a 12-month a year thing? Because my God, it gets dark at 4:30 in the afternoon, right. And the last thing I want to do is plan. By 6 o'clock, I'm ready for bed.
Yeah, isn't that wild? I feel the same way now. Yeah. Len, how about you? End of the day?
At the end of the day, I eat, and then I get into my comfy chair, and I watch TV.
This is the most motivational podcast ever. That's so good.
Hey, no. Let's think about this. It's relaxing, right? Okay, so I'm going all day long, right? It's not like all day I'm lounging around. I'm working. And I think I deserve that end of the day. I mean, everybody does. I mean, all work and no play can drive you nuts.
No, I'm not debating that at all because I definitely have to have that downtime at the end of the day. But
no, but I was trying to rescue your question and trying to get something useful out of that for your listeners.
Yeah, no, I totally get that. I just thought at the very end of the day, I started this thing of writing down where I got to, what I'm going to do tomorrow. And I found I sleep better. I don't think about like, oh, I got to do this stupid thing tomorrow. Robert, save us. How about you? Any end of the day stuff?
So I'm very similar to Len. So like my mind is just like nonstop all day long. And so I literally just have to sit down and I have to watch either a rerun of like an action movie that I've seen 50 times, or I need to watch some kind of comedy every single night, whether it's like a late night talk show or YouTube clips of cats. But I need that to stop my mind from going before I go to bed, or else I will toss and turn all night.
Oh, you guys. I guess we'll leave it there.
We are such a motivational bunch.
we totally are. But it's funny. I guess that means you can do without that piece. But let's talk about what's going on with you guys. So, Greg, you're on the couch, which means you've got all this time to write. I bet you're writing just this epic right now.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm gonna stop when I get to 25,000 words and then publish it.
Excellent. And you'll tell us what it's all about later.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Len Penzo, what's going on at lenpenzo.com?
Hey, 6 ways to avoid a holiday debt hangover. Lenpenzo.com. Come on by and check it out.
And now's the time, right? Talking to the troops early. Now's the time to think about the hangover, sure.
You got it.
Robert, thanks for joining us.
Definitely. I enjoy being here and learning about everybody else's routines.
and just making sure that you got to take a nap on top of this.
Darn right. I appreciate that one.
This is the second best thing that happened while your family was gone. What's going on at the College Investor?
One of our big things this last week is we finished updating our student loan forgiveness program by state guide, where we literally have every student loan forgiveness program that we can possibly find in the great United States online so that you could check it out, click on your state and see if you qualify for anything. So it was pretty cool.
That's awesome. Did you see this debate online today about this financial advisor telling people that they should default on their student loans?
Yeah, I question whether it was a financial advisor or a student loan, quote unquote, help company that advised this. Because sadly, I see a lot of unscrupulous firms out there that advise people to default on their loans and continue to make payments to this firm. And this firm is going to try to negotiate on your behalf. And it's a giant sham. And people get themselves in a lot of trouble that way. And it's really sad.
Well, Greg, if people had read your book, they would know they shouldn't have gotten that trouble in the first place.
Available on Amazon for just $6.99.
We got it, baby.
Len Penzo says it's the greatest personal finance book ever written, and he would know.
It is. It is fantastic. Well, thanks for playing, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks,
Jeff. Thank you.
That's going to do it for this episode. Hey, everybody, some great news, and that is that we only have the month of December until we start up our new game. In January, we're going to kick off a brand new Friday game, and we'll have that for you. Also, anybody who's waiting for swag from us, Brad over at our t-shirt company, we're waiting on Brad because we're changing the way that we give away t-shirts. We've given away so many, and Brad is this cool dude who's really helped us, and we're kind of growing together. And if you haven't seen the Stacky Benjamin shirts, head to stackybenjamins.com/shirts, and that'll take you right to the Flying Pork Apparel and all the awesome swag that Brad has put together for us. But anyway, we were waiting on that. We now have codes. So those are all going out this week. In fact, by the time you hear this, you probably already heard from me. So that's what's going on here in the basement. Let's talk about next week. We are off next week. It's our end of this 8-week segment of shows. For those of you new to the show, in the early days, we struggled because of the fact that we didn't take a break. And shows just started showing up a little late, and then sometimes really, really, really late. And then I realized that if we were going to keep this thing going, we just needed to clean up the basement every 8 weeks and get things rolling the right way. So the way we decided to do this was we hired an intern. We have now the Fintern. It's Griffin. The Fintern takes over, and he plays some of our favorite episodes. It's one of two things, really. It's episodes that are either one of our big-time favorites from the past, or it's an episode that not many people listen to because I named it incorrectly. And it's funny. When you do this for a while, what you learn is that people click based on the title, which is kind of funny with our show because we talk about 8 different things every show. And I'll give you an example. On Monday's show, which I absolutely loved, whenever we talk about party planning, which we always do this time, the holidays, it's part of our thing that we do every year. Less people listen to that episode. I know that going in. I also know that the board game episode on Friday, fewer people were going to listen to. But I know that that's also because people are traveling, spending time with the family. So we just have some fun on that Friday. But if I put like the hottest stocks for you to own now, which, you know, I don't think I'd ever do that. But we have done like financial moves you need to make right now. Bam, huge response from people. So anyway, just to make the quick point, if you've missed some episodes in the past because they weren't named well, we're going to point you during Griffin's weeks here to some of those good ones. So he's got some great stuff up on tap for next week, but we're going to leave that surprise. Then we come back for 2 weeks before we take our usual break, the week between Christmas and New Year's. We're off every year. And just a programming note there, the Monday after New Year's, January 2nd, we are going to observe New Year's that day and not have a show that day either. So we'll have 4 shows off. That'll be December 26th, 28th, and 30th will be off. And then we're also off on the 2nd. We'll have shows, but that'll be the Fintern down here in the basement taking care of business. All right. That's what's coming up. We'll see everybody next week with the Fintern. And then the week after that, back here stacking more Benjamins. See you later.
This show is the property of SB Podcasts, LLC. The show is created by Joe Saul-Sehy, produced by Richie Rutter-Reese, and engineered by the amazing Steve Stewart. Special thanks to Robert Farrington. You can find his podcast at thecollegeinvestor.com or through the show notes on stackingbenjamins.com. Greg McFarlane appears courtesy of Control Your Cash. Len Penzo appears courtesy of lenpenzo.com. SB Podcasts may receive payment on the show from sponsors and guests in the form of books, giveaway items, discounts, or other remuneration. There's no way you would take advice from these dorks, but like Joe's mom always says, don't take advice from people you don't know. This show is for entertainment purposes only, and before making any financial moves, consult with a real financial advisor. A special no thanks to Joe for planning a one-sided conversation about men and women with only men without even including me. What's that all about? Nobody knows more about either women or snow tires than me. This place sucks.